I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Soapy.
Hello, everybody.
I know.
I'm Greg Rickard.
What am I on, a talk show?
Who are you?
I'm good. Do you know what today is?
I said, who are you?
Oh.
You didn't say your name.
Well, you know, I'm just learning how to talk.
This is Rebecca Buttig.
Yes, I'm Rebecca Buttig, and welcome to Soapy. Thank you so much for listening or watching, however you listen or watch us. you're just laughing at me. Greg, do you know what today is? 1 year that we've been doing Soapy. It is our 1 year anniversary.
It's our anniversary.
Are you trying to tap me?
I don't know.
I don't know what you're trying to do.
I don't know.
Yes, it is our 1 year anniversary. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
And I think we need to have a very special guest on for our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, we need somebody big.
And I have someone.
You have someone.
I do. Brad Bell.
The Brad Bell?
The Brad Bell, the daytime Emmy-winning executive producer and head writer of The Bold and the Beautiful, and he also happens to be my boss.
Wow. Okay, so I'm sure everyone who is listening and watching already knows, but Brad Bell has been with The Bold and Beautiful since its inception in 1987.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I get all of this right. He took over as head writer from his father, creator of Bold and the Beautiful and The Young and the Restless, William J. Bell, in 1993, and he has been showrunning.
1995 or 1993?
He took over as head writer in 1993 and has been showrunning since 1995. Like, let that sink in.
I know. That is
a very, very long time.
It's a very long time. Let me tell you something. Most people doing something for that long would lose, like, a passion, you would think, like a little bit of a passion for it. This gentleman has not lost an ounce of passion. In fact, I actually think the show is getting bigger and better in different ways. They're expanding and they're doing other things. And I just think they're more innovative than I've ever seen on a show.
We're going to talk to him all about that and all about the history.
I'm so excited that he's here.
Of your show and his history in daytime television. And it's going to be a great, great interview.
Join us with Brad Bell next. Back with Brad Bell, who is the executive producer and head writer of The Bold and Beautiful, and also my boss.
I'm a lucky man.
I'm a lucky girl, let me tell you. Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure.
I've really been enjoying Soapy.
Such a fantastic show. I was watching a bunch last night, and from the beginning on, it's so fun, and you guys are great together.
Well, thank you. It is such an honor to have you here, and you know, what better guest to have with us, because all we want to do here is celebrate the genre and the hard work that we all do, and who knows more about it than you? I mean, it's been in your life, I want to say since you were a kid, yes?
since birth, really.
Yeah.
I think when I was born, my father was doing As the World Turns, and then went on to Days of Our Lives. So I grew up with my Sands Through the Hourglass, yeah. You know, coming home from school. And then 1973, The Young and the Restless.
Right.
We weren't a typical family in that we were all about soap operas. We had a dining room table in our apartment in Chicago, and that was all his typewriter and all of his things. We never used it. We had TV trays, and we would watch the shows. You know, when the Betamax and VCR came out, we would just line up our trays, pop in the tape, and we would all watch it, and he would, talk about the lighting, the notes, the performance. Oh my gosh, and so it was really intensive study.
Wow,
a lifelong study.
But I want to note that you did grow up in Chicago, and I think your parents wanted you. I could be wrong, but they wanted you to have a normal sort of upbringing. Even though they were in the business in Hollywood, you were in Chicago, which is a Midwestern town.
We were in Chicago because my mother had a talk show for 30 years on the air every day live on CBS, WBBM-TV at noon. So she was the star in the family. You couldn't walk down a block without someone saying, Lee Phillip, wow. Could I have your autograph? And we had great times. Even as a kid, when I didn't have school, I would go, she would get her hair done at Saks Fifth Avenue on Michigan Avenue before she would walk to WBBM down the street. And I would just hang out in the newsroom and play catch with the news guys and hang out in the booth there. So that was really my entree into television, was at WBBM.
That's amazing.
Were your sister and brother involved or wanted to hang out as much? And
I for some reason, I think I was there a lot. Orly was too.
Yeah.
What was that like as a kid walking down the street and knowing that your mom is famous and someone that people idolized and looked up to?
It was cool. I mean, it was really wonderful.
Yeah.
My mother, she interviewed everyone back then, all the stars, the politicians, anyone who wrote a book of note would come, and they would do New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, second city at that time. I guess it always will be, but you sat down with Lee Phillip.
Wow.
And she was very proper, and she would ask you questions, and you would reply. And then if it was a book, she'd have to read the book that night, cram it. I could always tell when she was reading or interviewing someone with a child psychiatrist, because she would come back that day and say, "How do you really feel about that?" You know, it was fun to have.
My mom was a psychiatrist. She'd come home and
try to psychoanalyze.
She'd be like second guessing herself.
I was on tour.
I get it. And you maintained a very close relationship with your mother, and didn't. I mean, we're jumping ahead, but when you were writing for The Bold and the Beautiful, didn't you go and have lunch with her, and she'd give you her input on the stories?
Yes, she always had something interesting to say, but she wasn't a writer, so she would. Come from a different perspective, which was fresh and always, wanting to, she was really at the heart of a lot of these issue storylines because she had done so many documentaries. And she was played an important role in The Young and the Restless and Bold and Beautiful.
So did you finish out your childhood in Chicago? Because I know the family eventually moved to Los Angeles.
So I graduated high school in Chicago. I went 2 years to the University of Wisconsin. And that's when I took television production classes and, of course, wanted to come to Hollywood and direct. But I really realized after 2 years there, I wanted to go west and went to UCLA and really focused in on the writing.
And so what was your post-college life like? Before, did you go right into production with your dad, or was there some time in between?
I would do a lot of extra work and hang out in hair and makeup at Y&R. You know those rooms well.
Yeah.
And, I got to see it from all different perspectives, which I think was helpful.
Was there ever a moment that you maybe wanted to take a different direction from your father?
really, I was committed at a young age.
Really?
Yes. I would spend summers prior to moving west hanging out with...
In the writer's room,
In the writer's room, which was in our apartment in Chicago with six or seven writers or eight writers around, all chain smoking. And I would sit under the dining room table and just listen. Sometimes days would go by and I would just listen. And then I got brave enough to make a few suggestions, but they were so busy. But it was so such a wonderful training ground.
I mean, the best, right? Yeah.
But I heard some of the first scripts that you wrote, your dad would look them over and he had like a red pen and he would mark them up.
Yes.
It was more red than...
he would. And it was, do we really have to change that word or rephrase that sentence? Right. But he really, you know, I saw that red. At first it made me see red, but then I saw it like as a labor of love that he was taking this time and really honing my craft. And we got to really, by the end, think alike. We were writing partners, you know, for years.
Yeah.
And it was so wonderful. We would, when we moved out here, we would take the car to work together to discuss the show. We would sit in the same office at Y&R in the corner, and I was there all day. And then we would drive home together. I was living with them at the time, and then we would have a martini together, and then we would watch, you know, the tapes. So it was really every waking hour.
Is this just Bold and Beautiful, or was this Y&R and Bold and the Beautiful?
Young and Restless. So I was writing Young and Restless before Bold and Beautiful.
Right.
Dialogue writer, really learned most of what I learned through Young and Restless on those early days.
Mm-hmm. Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
The whole thing, driving to work together.
It was wonderful. And he was such a joy. And he would, he was such a crack jokes, corny jokes, so much fun, but so unpredictable. He was totally reliable, but at the same time, unpredictable. And he'd love to say things that would get a reaction, to evoke some kind of reaction.
Love it.
That's so cool. We're jumping around. You have an app, the Bold and the Beautiful app, the BBTV.
Yes.
And on there, there's a tour of his parents' home. And John McCook, it says, you know, Brad lives over in that guest house. And, you know, that you had lived in the guest house,
I lived
right?
in the guest house. My brother lived in another guest house. Laurie lived in the house.
Yeah. I mean, it's so amazing. It's magical.
It was crazy. Like,
And you designed the sets from The Bold and the Beautiful based on their homes, correct?
The Forrester house was my parents' house.
Wow.
Yeah.
And still is.
Yeah.
Brooke and Ridge's house was the house that I eventually moved into. Steffi's Beach house is, you know, they're all part of the family. And part of it is so if we film inside and then we go out the door, we know we can just go to our backyard and shoot
it's
there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I remember the one time I was at your parents' house was they held an 80th birthday party for Jeannie Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think I'd been on the show that long. And I remember, just feeling really, feeling so welcomed, in their home. And we have talked about this ad nauseum on this show with any guest from Young and Restless or Bold and Beautiful who comes on here, that the environment that they create on both sets and that you now create on your set is so joyous and filled with love, right? I mean,
I always say it feels very familial. Like you can tell that it's a family, there's just a family environment that you create somehow. I don't know how, maybe it's just there, but it just feels like family.
Well, we spend so much time together.
I know.
That we really are, you know, it's cliche, but, you know, an extended family.
Yeah, I know.
We spend, and it has to be enjoyable. We have one life, so we have to make it fun and create an atmosphere where people are ready to come to work and deliver their best stuff.
Yeah. You said no assholes. You said that to my first meeting with you, you're like, we don't have any assholes here.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, that's amazing.
It's true.
So how do you, but I mean, that's, it's one thing to say that.
Yeah.
But how have you and how do you continue to cultivate that? I guess by making sure there's no assholes, but, you know, because that is not, that's an easier said than done in a town that has a couple of assholes.
Well, I think it's just a tone that the set has and the show has and both shows have. And either you're on board or you're not. But I think people, when they're happy, it's infectious.
Yeah.
And I love that you don't, if someone's not happy, you don't want them there. If they're not happy, they should go, right? So that's what you said. is there anything you learned from your father and the way that he operated that you adopted and continue to use today, like on the show?
I mean, so many things. But I think you have to, if you're feeling something, you have to say it, you know? Mm-hmm. If performances are off or people are, some actors can ad lib and they do it very well and they maintain do it within their characters. Others can't. You have to guide that. Going down to, wardrobe, hair, makeup, lighting.
Yeah.
People want to know. Just say it. Don't keep it bottled up.
Yeah.
And it all works out.
You're accessible, which is really nice.
Yeah.
You're always around.
I guess it's an interesting, because it is a collaboration, right? To your point, it's from wardrobe to hair and makeup to the actors and the writers, to the whole production. It's a machine. And I always love that everyone should contribute, but also have an understanding that I always say, like, I don't ever like to approach a scene saying, my character wouldn't say this, because I know that I am a piece of this puzzle, but I don't always look at the puzzle from a bird's eye view, because I'm aware of my story and what I'm doing. But there is that fine line of giving everybody the space to have a voice, but also being the boss and making sure that it does fit the bird's eye view of what you want the show to be and to look like. And
yes, and very often, most often, if an actor says, my character wouldn't say that, they're right, because they're, who's more dialed into the character than
sure.
the actor?
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I listen to that and I don't, the hairs don't stand up on the back of my head. I'm like, tell me more. We're all in it together.
Yeah.
That's what I think, that's what's so unique about you. You're so receptive. You're so open to ideas and you may not like them, but you're open. And I think that's a rarity that for an executive producer to be so open and so accessible. So thank you.
Of course. I need the help,
need the help. You know what? To that end, we were talking about this, how soaps are so interesting because there's not really a beginning, middle, and end. There is for story arcs, but that character will continue on. So it must be challenging to sort of write a story for a character, but it doesn't really end because they have to keep moving on in their life on the
show.
It's
all open-ended.
It's really open-ended.
Yes.
Do you do this?
I always have the end of the story in mind, and then you fill in the pieces to get to the end.
Okay.
And you try to have twists and turns along the way, but you know that the emotional payoff at the end is going to be something special and unique. And then you have to put all the pieces together to make that moment as incredible as it can be, which is great. And then once you have that payoff, you also typically need to regroup, which is great about the ensemble, is that you paid that off, and then you have, you focus on other stories that hopefully are in the middle of building to their climax while you do cover to figure out the next chapter for these people.
I was wondering when you were archiving all of the episodes. So for those that don't know, there is an app for Bold and the Beautiful. It's the B&B app. And it has every episode from the beginning. And it's so awesome. I just gotta say, it's so awesome. Going back to 1987, it's just the coolest thing in the world. And also, many of these characters are still on the show, so you get to really see the evolution. But I was wondering, when you archived this, maybe you didn't watch all of them, but did you get any story ideas to go back to? Because, what's old is new again and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I have been looking back at how things were done and remembering how the rhythm and the tone and the characterization was done in the early 90s, the late 80s, in the 2000s, and drawing back and thinking, wow, that really worked. And so I feel like we're delivering a brand, and there's nothing, I'm not taking storylines, but I'm taking energy from those early years, because it was good. It was really good.
And people want nostalgia.
They do.
They want to feel, I think it's really, it's awesome. And this app, I don't know where you got the idea, but to have these little, you have the cat fights and they're all in one place. You have celebrity guests, you have all in one place. And it's, no one's done it.
No.
No one's done it.
And
it's so cool.
It is a wonderful place to go. And we were going to build it out with a couple of seasons and then add more. And we said, no, we're going to drop as many as we can. Yeah. So it took really a year to build out this app, to put in 9,000. This is like historic in television, that you dropped 9,000 episodes at one time.
It's crazy.
Were they all just like available and ready to go?
No,
were they in Utah somewhere?
No, they
were in Kansas, in the salt mines.
Yeah.
And they were at Beacon Storage and just gathering up all of these tapes. And I don't know if we have one or two missing. I don't think so. But it got to that point where it was either like use it or lose it, because we'll lose this stuff.
Even the behind the scenes with John giving a tour of the house, and there's just little tidbits on that. It's really, for anyone that is interested, they should check it out. It's available on the App Store. It sure is. Anyway, my daughter loves watching it. She loves watching the old shows.
And we were watching,
seeing the wardrobe and the hair and everything else, you know?
We were watching Catherine Kelly Lang's screen test.
I showed it to him, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
It was really cool.
Well, it was, speaking of soapy, on soapy, it was soapy. Back then, which I love. I think you watch soaps for them to be real and honest and cool, but also soapy. So I always say, let's embrace the big music. And the big looks.
And the
go broad
stories.
With it. Don't be afraid to go broad, because that's what we're all about.
Yeah.
And outrageous, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best genre. These are the best jobs.
Yeah.
I'm curious, and we touched on this a little bit, because you said that sometimes you write in your car. What your writing process is like, and what is it like for you if you're blocked? Does that happen ever?
It happens daily.
Wow.
But you just have to push through it. I was writing on the way over here, and then I have writing, and at the same time going on my map and then all of a sudden it's Forest Lawn. Oh no. So I had a little tour of Forest Lawn Cemetery while on the phone with Mike Minnis, who I'm on the phone with hours and hours a day.
He's
in
one
Austin,
of our,
Texas.
Our head writers on the show, right?
Yes. I dictate a lot of it. We knock it all out. I work with he's been amazing. We went to school at the University of Wisconsin together. So we're,
a secondhand.
A good shorthand.
Shorthand, yeah.
And then, I really reach out to, yesterday I had a meeting with Lawrence and Sarah in the office. I speak with Casey Kasperzik about
story. He's a writer.
Story.
Casey's executive producer.
I'll knock it around with anyone.
Yeah, It's good to bounce ideas off people,
right?
It's
very good. Yes, and have different
perspectives. Because they add to it.
You ever heard the story of Harry? He was a legend around here. Until one afternoon, he left and never came back. Turns out, Harry went and made himself a website using Squarespace. Used Squarespace domains to buy artisanseatcushions.com. And he built a beautiful site with an online store to sell his artisan seat cushions. Now Harry's sitting on a fortune. And if our Harry can do it, anyone can. Build your business at squarespace.com. Use offer code EVERYTHING for 10% off your website or domain.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home. And with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
If you start and you say, I know that this is where the story is going to end, is it a... is it rare, or does it often happen where during the course of telling that story, maybe based on performances or any other number of variables, does it ever change, or does the outcome ever change for you based on where you originally thought it was going to go?
Most of the time, yeah.
Wow.
So that's why when people say, what's going to happen with my story? What's the summer story? I think I told Gru Moore, I said, you're joining a motorcycle gang and you're going to really go downhill because you... lose Electra. And he's like, I'm so excited for the motorcycle gang. Well, you know, it was probably 4 hours later, I thought, you know what, this motorcycle
gang. We're not doing that. Like, how are we going to do that?
Meanwhile, I passed him a week later. He's like, I've been, you know, thinking about motorcycles. I'm like, oh no, did I say the motorcycle gang thing? So it's always in flux, always changing.
That is hilarious, by the way. Because I know crew.
He's like, I bought a motorcycle.
He probably mentioned it to everybody. Yeah, I'm going to be in a motorcycle gang. I'm so excited. Oh my God.
Yeah,
I know. You can never really, I always been doing this a long time. And when they say you've got this great story, I'm like, I'll wait till I see it. I'll wait till it's out there. Because like you said, things change. Can you walk us through a day for those that are listening and those that are interested? What is it like to run a daytime soap opera? Like, what is your day like?
Well, so
you're also writing, head writing.
Yes.
So you're doing both.
So I try to do writing before early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think about it in the shower. I think about it in bed. Before I go to the shower, I think about it when I'm dressing. You know, I'll try to find like a quiet corner of the house. If I wake up at 5:30 or 6, as I'm driving, and then I'll park in my parking lot, I'll call Oliver upstairs. Dad, when are you coming to work? I said, I'm in the parking lot. He said, oh, and now he's used to it. He knows I park and I don't get out of the car.
Oliver is your son, for those that don't know, who's, I think, getting into this business. No,
yes.
We don't know if he's going to stay Bold and Beautiful, or is he, or do you know? Or
I think he is.
He's
all on board.
That's amazing.
Which is great. The fourth kid, and he's been into it. He told me like a year and a half ago, I've been trying to get him. But he's been interested in production his whole life, and he went to St. Andrews mm-hmm. and studied film. So he is, he's fully committed. He's one of us. He's a TV guy.
He calls you though. No, you're not driving to work together like you do with your dad.
No,
But he's calling you saying, where are you? Okay. So
you're
coming up with story ideas in your car.
I don't think he even calls now. He goes out to the little terrace and looks down and it's like, he's here.
He's here.
But so I do that first, and people say, oh, Brad's coming in around 10:30. Wow. Well, I've been typically up for hours and hours trying to find some solitude and quiet places to write. And then when I get to the office, it's a bit like a revolving door with the production side of it. People come building new sets or...
wardrobe.
Wardrobe. You know, there are so many things. And then just collaborating with the producers, planning location shoots, doing everything that goes, casting, that goes into it. So I try to separate, just have quiet. Writers need quiet time. I think I'm more of an introvert that way.
We are fellow Cancers.
We're fellow Cancers.
We both want to crawl in a hole and just hang out there. Maybe play a couple games, but
keep it simple.
Keep
the drama on the page.
Exactly. Yeah. So then so you do that every day?
That's pretty much. And then I'll come home maybe write down some stuff in the evening. Maybe block out a couple hours in the afternoon, but a morning, evening.
And then,
once
you have an idea that's somewhat fleshed out and you say, I think this is a story I want to tell with these characters, do you then take it to your team and to the writing team and have them sort of add to it or collaborate with you on it? Or how does that next step work?
So we will, typically it really is very train of thought that I'll come up with it on the fly. And, and Mike and I will bounce it off each other. I'll bounce it off some, but it moves so quickly that we don't have time to knock it around too much. So I'll talk to some of the other writers, but they're so busy, you know, simultaneously pounding out dialogue that just kind of keep it going. And we have a virtual writing room, which consists of writers and then people in the office who pop in. And I really love it when I hear an actor or actress has thoughts.
I have an idea.
Okay.
I'm off camera. I have an idea.
Okay. But good. I want to hear it.
I never go with ideas, but you know what? You're so open that I'm like, you can just say, nah, won't work.
I will.
I don't care. I'm not precious about it.
Yeah.
So I've heard rumblings that Taylor has a brother.
he so badly wants to come and be my brother.
And my question is, who is this brother and why is it Greg Rickard?
He always says that to me.
By the way,
he's like, you got to pitch me to Brad.
You guys won't have to audition as brother and sister because watching you on the show, I could swear you're brother and sister.
Well, we lived next door to each other for like 20 years.
Oh, that's
literal,
it.
Like
that's
our garages were this close to each other.
Literally, he would play pranks on me all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like a jump scare.
So I guess.
And now his son is the exact same way, which is frightening.
Oh my gosh.
It's great. And Rebecca's daughter and my son spent quite a few years as, for all intents and purposes, brother and sister.
Yeah. I have a question about, don't know how to word this because I'm not very good at speaking.
Unless you have somebody writing the words for you.
Yes. So when, because my father passed and he had a business, There are things that you want to honor, things that he wanted to maintain. Is there anything that he wanted to maintain on this show in particular that you try to honor?
Well, I think that he more than anything liked to stir something deep within the viewers, to evoke emotion and deep connection. Mm-hmm. So he would not want it to be plot-driven and thin. The ultimate goal is to get people, honestly, sitcoms make you laugh. We're trying to make them cry, but not cry in a bad way, cry tears of joy and empathy. And I think that is the most important thing we can do. Mm-hmm. That's what the viewers need. It's therapeutic to cry.
Well, I think the beauty of soaps, though, is honestly, there is levity, too. There's laughing, crying, anger. There's just everything. And that's what I always loved as an actor, that we got to kind of do everything.
Right.
I mean, at least that's been my experience.
I agree. You're doing genre. Murder mystery now, and now we're doing something campy and ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
you get to do it all.
Yeah, you get to do it all.
Well, that's what's
fun. To piggyback on that, is there any challenge between maintaining the legacy and also keeping the show contemporary?
He was so cool that YNR was so contemporary when he was writing that for so long. I want to be reflective of the times. But I always believe we're all more alike than we are different. The human experience is one that even though we have iPhones and we have all of these gadgets, we're still, flesh and bone and
falling in love.
Well, everything has changed. All the things. Not a lot has changed.
It's just, when we put all those things down.
It's true. Yeah.
We get the interpersonal communication we are very much alike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you use any stories from your real life in the show? Because you've got four kids, three kids.
I have.
Charlotte, Oliver. Okay. Like, is it four?
Four kids,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all right.
Two boys, two girls.
Yes, that's right. So do you use anything? I'm sure always smooth sailing.
I've used quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah.
I think just parenting, you learn so much in living with the two daughters and
And
the wife, and you know, I'm constantly trying to, you know, I know I'm a man, but you know, but I like to relate to women. Mm-hmm. I love having women being the head of the household, because let's face it, they are, you know, and then, right. You know, with our characters, Susan Flannery.
We have strong women.
And, mm-hmm. you know, from the very beginning that you know, Taylor is strong and together. Mm-hmm. Katie is, I really like having a strong matriarch.
You write really great, strong women. It's commendable.
Well, there are so many, we've had so many actresses on this show who have shared stories of how many women they, fans of their shows that they have met, who were given permission to be strong, to have a career, mm-hmm. because of these strong women they see on their shows.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Is there any place in the world you haven't gone yet? Because, you know, you shoot Australia, Italy. Where are we going Australia. Next? Where are we going next, Brad? Italy, I want to come. So
we're going to Monaco.
Yes.
In a few weeks.
TV yes. festival?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. TV festival. And then I went there, we would go to this festival every year and it took me maybe 5 or 6 years to think, we have the cast here. We're at a festival, we have days off. There's got to be a local camera crew. Why don't we just shoot it here? The mm-hmm. rooms are paid for.
Yeah.
And, you know, the makeup is on, they're all dressed up. Why are we not rolling? So now whenever we go to the festival, we shoot.
Smart.
Yeah, at least a day, maybe two.
Do you go every year?
I go most years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Festival of Monte Carlo?
No, I have. Oh. I have not.
You'll get there. It's,
no, I have not. I was asked to, in his defense, though, I was asked to go to Italy last year, but my stepdaughter was getting married, so I couldn't miss the wedding.
Didn't she get married in Italy?
She got married in Italy.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know. He's like, well, you got to come down, but it just...
It was exactly...
It would have been... She would have been like, really? Home for my wedding? You're going to go work? But yeah, I'd love to.
How has the move to the new studio been for you?
It's been, it's really been wonderful. We have more space. Mm-hmm. It's really more interactive. We have more sunshine. Amazing. It's, we feel like we're all in it together. We're not divided by floors, and everything is very approachable. It feels good. You know, we love Television City. I first went to Television City when I was 9, you know, and left when I was 60, I guess. But, you know, what a great, incredible place.
Oh, yeah.
Was that a little bit of a bittersweet thing? Because we sold my dad had a business, and he had the building from when I was a child. And we sold the building, and it was like, oh, I mean, I was sad. I sort of like, it was a loss a little bit. No?
Well, I'll tell you, it was weird.
Mixed bag?
It was strange.
Because it's got to be strange. You're so used to it, and you grew up with it, and it's just kind of like, you know, you're home away from home, and then you go to a new place, which is exciting.
It was exciting, but it was tough to leave. Yeah, all the memories. Walking out the artist entrance the last time there was it was, there were moments.
I wasn't there for 51 years, but when I first left Young and the Restless, it was hard to leave, because I would always pull onto that lot. That lot in particular, I think, is just, there's some magic there.
It's
historic. It's fabulous.
And
it's,
I would always just be filled with gratitude every time I would walk on. And then even when I just drive by now, I still feel such fondness for that place. Did you take anything with you? That you're allowed to legally say?
So I think, you know, they were great.
I ripped off the wall. What did you take?
CVS on the side of the building?
Yeah, that's so cool. Okay, what did you take?
No, they years ago, I think it was for episode 7,000, dedicated stage 31 to me. And so I think I have the plaque. From the stage.
That's a good thing to take with you.
Yeah.
Okay, one more thing. I know, I feel like we're keeping you forever. We're going to have you here tomorrow. You're going to just sleep here.
Yeah.
We're going to start, you know, throwing around story ideas. I want to ask about the future of the soap and B&B. I mean, you are, I'd say, probably the most innovative by creating this app. And now there's a reality TV show.
Yes. So we've been working with Jeff Jenkins, who does the Real Lives of Mormon Wives and countless other reality shows and ran out Orlamans and 3B, you know, media and so you know it's in the works.
It's in the works.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And then, but what about the documentary? Can we talk about that? Or no.
Sure. Well, there's a documentary coming out.
Right.
Yes.
About the show. There's so much happening for the beautiful.
There's so much happening. We have an app. We have a documentary. We may have a reality show. There are some other things brewing. Constantly.
Historically, I want to say it's something like 20 to 30% of family-owned businesses don't thrive or survive into a second and third generation. But this is, I mean, talk about bucking the trend. It's like
it was really thriving.
Bell Dramatic TV was already a ginormous success in the first generation, but here we are and it's growing and thriving. And
you must be really proud of that.
I'm very proud of that. There were times when the soaps we all know in the 90s dropping out, and there were 14, then 12, and everyone was saying, what were you going to do next? And I thought I should make a plan. But I made the plan that I'm going to stay focused and try to make every episode of The Bold and Beautiful the best it can be. Mm. And maybe the sun will shine again, thinking probably not. But I do feel that we're in a period now of new momentum.
Oh, yeah.
And I think streaming, which was our certain death, has now become a friend and an asset. So there is a lot of interest in what we're doing currently. And it's
exciting. I love that our show's 30 minutes. It's just easy to watch. It's just so easy.
Yes.
So quick.
Before we move on from it, though, I'm just curious because I agree. I think between what we're doing here, Beyond the Gates, I know that when Days moved to Peacock, everyone was saying it's the best thing that ever happened to the show. And while I think we're all sort of celebrating this resurgence that the genre is having, what was, in terms of coming up with a plan B, was there a particular moment that you felt like it was pretty gloomy for daytime TV?
I really did. Maybe 8 years ago or 10 years. It felt like, it was coming to an end.
I remember that time. I mean, the show, when All My Children and One Life to Live went off the air, it was kind of like, what?
Well, there was a run, right? It was the Procter Gamble shows that left, and then...
Right,
yes.
And the ABCs. And
yeah, it started with Guiding Light and As the World Turns, and
Then it also though in that moment felt like the audience was like, we must hold on dearly to our shows that we have left.
Right.
But anyway, I'm glad we are where we are and we've survived that storm.
And to be a part of the YNRBNB Beyond the Gates soap block.
Yeah.
It feels good to say
really
soap
special.
Block.
Yeah.
Three great shows.
What would
shows.
You tell someone why they should start watching Bold and the Beautiful?
I would say that I think it's fun and it's interesting and you can dive in as deep as you like because there's not many shows that offer this kind of access to so many episodes. Mm-hmm. Now it's at your fingertips, all of these episodes through the app and through Paramount Plus and I think with these new micro dramas and verticals that are hot right now, they're all soap operas. We saw Primetime turn in for Dallas Dynasty, but then everything turned into, serialized
drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now it feels like there's this new resurgence of these microdramas, the verticals that you watch on your phone, and they're definitely soap operas. Yeah. And these kids who are doing it and they're in their 20s, they're like, wow, you do. What you're doing is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm you're aware of us and you think that we're kind of the OGs here. Oh. And we have respect. So I think
with that app, it is kind of like a vertical because I watch it from my phone. I mean, if I'm like my daughter's doing something and I have 20 minutes, I'm on the app watching the next episode because it's 21 minutes, I think. And so it's amazing. But
Okay, we have a soapy hotline. Yeah. Okay. And we have some fans that have written in some specific questions for you.
Oh, great.
We can't let you leave without asking a few of these.
Oh, well, did we already? What do you think of the soap industry currently, and what do you think the future holds for soaps?
I think the soap industry, it's a great time for the soap industry. With our soap block, Days doing well on Peacock, you know, it feels good. And I think the future is bright.
Go ahead.
This fan wants to know if you miss Michelle Valjean, and she wants to know how you balance and how you juggle work life and family. I think we covered the second part of that, but let's talk about Michelle Valjean a little bit.
I love
Friend
Michelle
of the pod.
Valjean.
We do too.
Yes. So I miss Michelle, but we still, she's always invited to every Bold and Beautiful party. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about Michelle is that she always comes.
She does.
And she, mm-hmm. and we have fun. Mm-hmm. She's fun to hang out with at a party. You know, we speak on the phone once in a while. We're always texting with, you know, she's texting the latest on Beyond the Gates, and I'm texting. So we had such a close relationship for so long.
She's really grateful to you because she said that she was developing Beyond the Gates while she was writing at the Bold and the Beautiful.
Yeah.
And really credits you for giving her that opportunity.
Well, that's sweet of her. And that's who she is. She's very sweet. I remember when Patrick Mulcahy, a great writer who worked for us, he said, you know, there's this, you have to meet Michelle Valjean. I looked, read a couple of scripts, and I said, we have to hire this Michelle Valjean. So we were on stage and Patrick said, Michelle's here. And I thought, it's a nice Frenchman. You know, I thought I was expecting a French man.
Oh my God.
And, you know, it's Michelle and she's a woman and she's not French. And, but she, you know, it was just
so
one of those life's moments. And what a pleasure to know and work with.
Well, that's got to be, they did the Y&R Beyond the Gates crossover, so I think we need to...
Well, that's one of the questions here, by the way. There was a crossover question, but there's two good ones. What is most important when leading a team and community at work? It's from a fan.
Oh, most important?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's energy. I think it's just creating positive energy.
Yeah.
Because we're not doing brain surgery, you know, we want to spread joy, so if we have joy with us, we can spread it more easily.
I'd say that's accurate about you in particular, the energy. Would you ever bring back Luna? Putting you on the spot.
I wish I could bring back Luna, but Luna's dead.
Luna's dead.
She's dead.
No one's ever really dead.
We need to introduce you to Dr. Rolf from Salem, because he can bring back anybody.
That's so funny. You're so amazing.
You're amazing.
Did we touch on everything? What did we not talk about?
Yeah, is there anything that we didn't cover that you want to discuss?
All the parties you throw. You throw great parties. I love that you want to celebrate. You want to celebrate anniversaries and accomplishments. That's so nice.
I love throwing parties.
I know you do. You throw great parties.
I love partying with our team. You know, that's another part of traveling and partying with the team. Today we had a little surprise coffee cart.
You did?
Yes.
Oh,
7:30 to 9:30.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and you know, we love to pull in a food truck or whatever. Well,
it makes people feel valued.
Yeah.
It does. It goes a long way.
Okay, sorry. One last thing I want to say. I was listening to, I love watching, I can get into real rabbit holes with the Emmy Legends interviews, and I was watching some of your dad's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the long interviews they do at the Academy. And his must have been from the late 90s, I would think. Mid to late 90s. And the interviewer asked him a question, something to the effect of how many people's lives he has changed by having the success that he has had. And he very humbly responded by saying, well, I wouldn't have the success if it weren't for all the people doing all the work. And I think you already know this, but I just want to put a point on it that her life, my life, hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of other people whose lives have been changed for the better by you and your family and the incredible work that you guys do is just remarkable. I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you.
And truly.
We're so grateful with all the incredibly talented artists and everyone we've worked with over the years. It's been a joy for the Bell family.
Thanks. Well, being under the umbrella is just, again, mm-hmm. just filled with gratitude.
I'm so grateful.
Okay. And speaking of anniversaries and celebrating milestones, you're here on a very special day.
Yes. It's our 1 year anniversary.
Oh my gosh.
For Sophie.
Wow. Yeah.
And we know how much you like to celebrate.
I love it. I love it.
Stand by. Well, Greg,
oh my
it's
gosh.
Your 1 year old birthday.
Oh, this
there
is
go.
So great.
Wow.
Here we go.
Well, thank you
blow
to
up
all
the
of
candle.
Well, thanks before
I, think
I
we
do that.
Do it together.
Let's
all
do it together.
Do it together.
But also thank you to you all
yes.
because we love this genre. We love getting to do this show.
Yeah.
And we love you all for tuning in.
Yeah.
And,
thank you so much.
Please keep
so,
doing
so
it.
Much.
We want to keep doing this. And
thank you, Brad Bell,
for being
here.
Our very
you
special
guest.
You
can watch The Bold and the Beautiful on Paramount Plus, CBS, and also on the Bold and the Beautiful app, BBTV.
And you can watch this anniversary episode of Soapy, as well as any other episodes you may have missed, on the CBS YouTube channel. And you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. We are so grateful to you all for joining
thank you,
us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Happy all right, let's blow out the candle. Happy anniversary.
All right.
Let's blow it out, Brad. Come on.
Nailed it.